this is the day that the Lord has made. We will be glad. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So good to see all of you here this morning. Today is the last day of our week of prayer for North American missions. We've been praying. We started last Sunday morning and every day this week. Our people, not only here at First Baptist Church in Derricks, but Southern Baptists all over the United States have been praying for our missionaries. We have about 5,000 missionaries who serve within the United States. We have about 5,000 or 6,000 missionaries who serve overseas. But this is our week of prayer for what we used to call home missions within the United States. And so we've been praying for all of these missionaries every day. Also, it's our Annie Armstrong week of prayer for missions. And it's an Easter offering. And so as a church, we have a goal of $1,000, which doesn't sound like very much these days. But we set that as our goal, and we're hoping that the next few weeks we can reach that goal of $1,000 for North American missions. So be praying about all of these missionaries. We need to get the gospel out to all of the world. I'm just so glad that you family members came to see these young boys baptized. I baptized both of my boys when they were about that age, maybe a little bit younger, actually. And it was a great thrill to me to be able to see them come to Christ while they are young. We're grateful when people come to Jesus when they're old. That's great and wonderful. But how wonderful it is when they come when they're young, and then they have their whole life to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I hope and pray for these young men today. Well, time changed, but it didn't seem to affect us adversely, did it? Everyone made it on time for church today. And I've been thinking all week about the subject of the times they are a-changing. At the nursing home Friday, where I do a Friday service, I said, Sunday I'm going to be preaching on the times they are a-changing. And I said, who does that remind you of who used to sing that song? And one of the little old ladies said, Bob Dylan. I said, that's just exactly who I was thinking about. Bob Dylan, back in 1962. That's about the time Ann and I were trying to figure out when to get married. And we got married the next year in 1963. But Bob Dylan came out with that song, The Times They Are A-Changing. I looked it up on my computer, you know, and I listened to it this morning. I'm not going to sing the song, but it's as good now as it was back then. And certainly the times were changing then, and they are certainly changing today. And we all know that is so very true. The times, they are a-changing. There's a passage in the Old Testament in 1 Chronicles. That's way back in the Old Testament. 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 32. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. David was to be the king of Israel. Saul was the king, but it was not God's plan for that to be. And the people wanted David to be the king. And it says that all the folks, and I'm going to begin noticing in verse 32 what it says. And the children of Issachar, who were men who had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brothers were under their command. Here there was a tribe called the tribe of Issachar, and they were men who had an understanding of the times. Boy, that's what we need today here in 2020, isn't it? We need men who have an understanding of the times. Some of us don't understand the times. Our heads are way up in the clouds somewhere, and we hardly know what's going on in the world. But here there were men. I was noticing in this passage in 1 Chronicles 12, all of the ones who were following David. And it says in verse 23, more men joined David almost every day until he had a tremendous army, the army of God. And then the writer of 1 Chronicles tells us how many were in each tribe, how many soldiers were there. And I was amazed when I read that in verse 24 through 37. From Judah there were 6,800 troops. The tribe of Simeon, there were 7,100 outstanding warriors. Among the Levites, there were 4,600. Among the priests, there were 3,700. From the tribe of Benjamin, there were 3,000. From the tribe of Ephraim, there were 20,800 mighty warriors. Each one was famous. From the half-tribe of Manasseh, there were 18,000 sent for the purpose of helping David become the king. From the tribe of Issachar, there were 200 leaders of that tribe, and they were the ones who understood the meaning of the times. From the tribe of Zebulun, there were 50,000. I thought about that. How many soldiers, trained warriors, they were fully armed and totally loyal to David. From Naphtali, there were 1,000 officers and 37,000 troops, all equipped with spears and shields. From the tribe of Dan, there were 28,600 troops, all of them ready for war. From the tribe of Asher, there were 40,000 trained and ready troops. From the other side of the Jordan River, there were 120,000 troops who were equipped with every kind of weapon. All of these men came in battle against Hebron with the single purpose of making David the king of Israel. In fact, all of Israel was ready for this change. Ready for this change. You see, we live in changing times, don't we? All of us realize that we do. Changing times. David Jeremiah is a real popular preacher on television, on the radio. He writes book after book after book. My son writes books, but he can't sell any. David Jeremiah, because of his name, he writes a book and it sells 1 million copies overnight. I keep wishing John had that kind of success, and he does too, but it certainly, he said, Dad, I just need a name. I said, yeah, you do. Being ablaze is not enough, you know, like my name is. But anyway, David Jeremiah wrote a book entitled, I Never Thought I'd Live to See the Day. How many of you have read or seen that book? Some of y'all have, and certainly you've heard his message on television or the radio. But in the book, and it's an interesting book, it's called I Never Thought I Would Live to See the Day. And here are the topics that Brother Jeremiah had as he thought about it. I never thought I'd see the day when atheists would be so angry. I never thought I'd see the day when Christians would not know they're in a war. I never thought I'd see the day when Jesus' name would be so profaned. I never thought I'd see the day, all of these are chapters, by the way. I never thought I'd see the day when marriage would become so obsolete. I never thought I'd see the day when morality would be in free fall. And boy, it is today, isn't it? In free fall. I never thought I'd live to see the day when the Bible would be marginalized in America. I never thought I would live to see the day when the church would be irrelevant. In other words, nobody pays any attention to the church. They used to, it seems, at least, but they don't anymore, hardly at all. I never thought I'd see the day when a Muslim state could intimidate the world, and the last when America could turn her back on Israel, and the last chapter, I never thought I would see the day when you could change your mind and save your life. Well, I've lived a long time. I'm 79 years old. My wife says, don't tell your age. They know you're old already. But I like to tell it. I'm proud I've lived 79 years, and I hope I'll see 80 in December. I'll be proud of that, too, if God gives me that life. I've seen a lot of changes in the years that I've been living, from 1940, when I was born, all the way to 2020. And you all have, too. Now, you younger people hadn't seen all these things yet that we have seen. Changing time. What are we going to do about the coronavirus? My soul, taking over the world. I went back to the ladies' Sunday school class this morning, and they wouldn't even let me shake their hands. What is this world a coming to? No, that's a good idea. We usually have handshaking time during church, you know, and everybody greets one another. And I just thought, well, let's don't do it today. Just don't push our luck on all of this. Because around the world, they're canceling all kinds of things. All of you children will hope the day they turn out all of the schools. But in some of the countries, they dismiss all the schools because they're afraid of people getting this terrible virus like the flu. It's all over the country. Political divisions. Oh, we're such a divided nation. The red and the blue and every other thing. Such a divided country. And because of the virus, the whatever that thing is called, even our economy is suffering, isn't it? And many of us, you know, we go and look at the computer and we see our investments, and my soul, in one day you can lose $20,000. Miss Anna gets awfully nervous, and I say, honey, you don't look at it every day. And our advisors say, don't look at it every day. Just let it be. It'll go down. It'll come up. But y'all are getting nervous too, and I'm telling you, because many of you are watching all of that and realizing how much uncertainty there is in our nation. We live in changing times is my whole point, and I don't need to talk about it much anymore. But every generation has lived in changing times. This is nothing new. All generations. Talk about Adam and his generation. Talk about Noah and his generation. What changing times that was. What about Moses and the changing times leading the people of Israel out of Egypt toward the promised land? During the days of all of the prophets of the Old Testament, changing times, one problem after another. And all during the days of the New Testament, changing times, they certainly are a changing. World War I, World War II, Vietnam. I'll be conducting a funeral Tuesday morning for one of my wonderful, dear, precious friends in Nashville. But my, he was a soldier. He was a highly decorated warrior, served in Vietnam and Korea. He didn't even want any of that in his obituary. He said, don't write up any of that stuff. And he didn't want anybody to brag about all of that he had done back in those days. And I will be doing his funeral on Tuesday. But we've seen all of these things through the years. The times, they are a-changing. Turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Certainly the times were changing when the Bible was written. And in Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 18, the Apostle Paul was writing to the church that was in Rome, Italy. And he wrote to the church, and this is what he said. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. That seems like he's writing it today, doesn't it? In 2020, right here in the month of March. Verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them. He said, the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. I was listening this morning to 103.9 KPIG. Any of y'all listen to that country music? Yeah, you do, Brother Gary. Yeah, we are the same generation. But some of y'all probably do too. I listen to KPIG all the time. But Sunday morning, they play country gospel songs all morning long. And they play those old gospel songs that we love to sing. And this morning, a guy was singing, and I thought, I know that name. My wife thinks I could win prizes by identifying all these country music singers, because I nearly could, but I was listening very carefully, and I thought, who is singing that? I never have heard that song exactly. He was singing about being out in the mountains, in the stream, and seeing the hand of God, and how God was close to him in nature. And then he said the next verse was he was in a city where all these people were teeming about, and in the midst of the city, walking down the street, he saw the hand and felt the presence of God. And I thought, that has to be Porter Wagoner. So I went to my computer and I looked it up, Gary, and then sure enough, that was a song by Porter Wagoner years and years ago, who made who famous? Go ahead, Dolly Parton. That's right. They sang together a long time before Dolly went off solo and is doing her thing even today. But I was a Porter Wagoner fan. But that song, well, in this Bible, this is what made me think of that song. And he said that from the invisible things of him, from the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. That's what a lot of us, we listen to the news. I have a doctor friend who years ago, when all the cable news came out, and he was such a conservative, wonderful Christian man, he's dead now, lived in Ohio at the time of his death. But one day he said, David, you know, he said, our democracy is going to be doomed because of all these talking heads on television. And I've been thinking about that lately, and I thought, boy, that just may be true. That's one of the curses upon a nation, all the opinions that people have, and we listen to that, whether it's CNN or NBC or ABC or Fox or whatever it may be, and our minds are being flooded and polluted by so much stuff. It sounds so familiar. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed beast and creeping things. Verse 24, and this is a scary verse. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did exchange the natural use for that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of women, burned in their lust one to another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was fitting. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do the things that are not seemly, being filled with unrighteousness, with fornication, with wickedness, with covetousness, with maliciousness. I don't know what all those words mean, but they sound mighty bad, don't they? Full of envy and murder and strife and deceit and malignity, whisperers, backbiters, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Well, I understand that one. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they who commit such things are worthy of death, not only do they do the same, but they have pleasure in them that do them. That's kind of like we are today. We get more pleasure out of watching these stories about great men falling into sin. I mean, we have it in the paper every single day. And we read it and we read it and we say how awful it is. And most of us are getting a kind of a kick out of reading it, because our minds are kind of screwed up as well. And so we get a kind of a joy out of noting the downfall of a movie producer like Weinstein. Are so many others we could name, so many. And they're in the newspapers and on television all the time. He said, not only knowing the judgment of God, that they who commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same thing, but have pleasure in them that do them. Chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, if you judge others. For wherein you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you that judge are doing the same things. What Paul is doing here, he's being inspired by the Holy Spirit. He's writing this letter to the Romans. And so in chapter 1, he's showing the condition of the world at that time. Which is the condition of the world in our day, at all times, not just at that time. And he's showing that the whole world is lost. And in chapter 2, he goes on to show that all the Gentiles, all the non-Jews, they are lost. And then in chapter 3, he goes on to show that the Jews as well, who claim to be the people of God, they too, he says, are lost and without hope. He concludes in chapter 3, verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And he goes on and on and on and presents this in verse 23 of chapter 3 of Romans. Look at this verse, 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's a verse most all of us know. And we realize that is true. You say, why do these little boys get baptized this morning? They're just 7 or 8 or 9 years old, little boys. But they realized they were sinners. And they realized and were taught that Jesus is the Savior. And that although they were sinners, Jesus died for their sins. And that if they would only believe what he did upon the cross, that he did for them, if they truly believe in him, they could trust in him, call upon him, and he would come into their life and save them. And his blood would wash them clean. And so these little boys understood that. The whole world is lost, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So Paul, in these verses 1 and 2 and 3 and 4, is showing that the whole world lies in a sinful condition. Now, there's only one hope that we have in a message like today, when times there are changing. Who is the one who gives us hope? Test. Jesus. That's right. You could hold up one finger, couldn't you? He's number one. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I dreamed last night. I kept on dreaming, and I don't know why I was dreaming what I was dreaming. But I was dreaming about the first church I pastored up in Chanute, Kansas. And I remember at that time I was there 4 years, my first full-time church. And there was an emphasis going on among Baptists all over the United States. It was one way. One way. We had bumper stickers, we had license plates, we had signs in front of churches all over the country about it was a crusade, one way. I've always believed that, and I still believe that today. The hope of our nation is in Jesus Christ. It really is. And so the message that we have, that we believe the whole world needs to hear, it's a message of hope. There is one hope, and His name is Jesus Christ. Back in those days, I would listen to Billy Graham. I miss Billy Graham so much. I know I hear Franklin all the time, but I sure do miss his daddy. George Beverly Shea, he would sing before Billy Graham would get up and preach. Y'all remember that? You can see some of the crusades on television now if you watch long enough. George Beverly Shea would get up and sing before Billy would preach. One of his most famous songs that I dearly loved was, In times like these. Times they are a-changing. Some of y'all would know the song if I sang it. I couldn't believe someone told me the other day that the pastor of the church down in Texarkana, where I used to pastor, they said, Brother Kevin, oftentimes he'll be preaching, he'll just break into a song. And my wife said, well, Brother David does that all the time. So other people do it as well. Let's sing that. In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. That rock is Jesus. Yes, He's the one. That rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. You see, the times they are a-changing, but they've always been a-changing, and they will always be a-changing as long as the world exists. But Christ is the strong anchor. He is our hope, and we need to put our trust and our faith in Him. Times are getting dangerous, but they've always been dangerous. The world, it seems, is so against God, but the world has always been against God. Jeremiah said he never thought he would see the day when the name of Jesus was so profaned. I disagreed with him. I knew I'd see the day. I've been seeing the day, and I look back through all of history, the last 2,000 years, as a matter of fact, I look back to the cross, and I realize just how much they hated Jesus. The Bible says he came unto his own, but his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to those who believe on his name. Chester, you didn't set your clock. What? Yeah, it's 12. I knew I was going to get Chester one of these days. But I didn't know it was going to be on the time change. Bless your heart. You missed the baptism and this great sermon I'm preaching. Chester, we love you so much. I know I couldn't embarrass you anyway. Did you not set your clock, Lily?
I didn't know, period.
Huh?
I didn't know it was even time change.
Why, I know. See, that... And you're probably not but yourself. A whole lot of people in this world. Just exactly right. I've been talking about the times they are a-changing. Well, you already know that, Chester, before you heard me preach it. You know the times are changing. And they're not getting better and better and better. But the hope that we have is Jesus. You did miss my song about in times like these. But Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And what he did upon the cross of Calvary was save us. It's a simple plan. We don't understand all about it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. But what? Have everlasting life. You know, there's so many things in this world that are wrong. There's so many sins that we all confront all of the time. But I'm glad to know there is power in the blood, that the blood of Jesus Christ still cleanses from sin, that as sinful as we are, if we will only repent of our sins, confess him as our Savior, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, and we can go through this world with that blessed hope that we are his children. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the blessed hope that we have, and we're grateful that in these changing times, there is a solid foundation that we have in your word in the person of Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, that if there is anyone here today who is not saved, that does not have that hope in their life, that just like these little boys, they will realize their sin, admit that they have sinned, confess that they are sinners and call upon you and believe in you and be saved. Oh, Lord, how I pray that someone might even this morning make that decision during this invitation. Lord, we thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit, and we pray that in these moments of invitation, your perfect will would be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.